going to start a series, a new series. I am going to talk about the Jewish question. This is really just James chapter 1, verse 1. I talked about James last week. I wanted to talk about this verse tonight. But you will quickly realize, if you have your brain engaged, we're talking about a serious matter. So let me, all these folks over here, look at me, except Mike and Pam don't have to look at me. And Bambi doesn't. All this group here. Your number one problem is you know nothing about the history of the United States, or very little. And number two, the generation that fought in World War II and saw the death camps are almost all dead. If someone would have said the stuff people say about Jews to my father, a country boy, you wouldn't have wanted to have been around him. Because these are the men that fought in Europe. They saw what happened to Jews. Did you hear me? We have absolute insanity. It's been on the left for a long time. Now, since I mentioned I was going to teach on this, I have probably read more academic books than most of you have read in a lifetime. My head is exploding. This is not going to be that tonight. But some of it is, I think our memories are very, very, very short. And selective, too. Mm-hmm. We think about ourselves, but we rarely think. By the way, this is horrible. I'm going to say some things tonight that are meant to be what they are. And it's going to come right out of a person that came to this church twice. Let's stand. There's not a lot of reading tonight. One whole verse. But the average person could read this 500 times and never even notice it's there. And not think long enough to ask, what does it mean? And I'm going to say this. I have to say this again. Anti-Semitism is on the left. It has been on the left for a long time. American universities. I mean, it's all through American universities. We saw that after October 7th of 2023. We saw presidents not be able to say, this is wrong. You mean murdering 1,200 people, raping women and girls and babies and videotaping? It's all according to what you mean. No. This verse says some things that you all actually pay attention to. No, it doesn't have anything to do with your salvation. Not everything in the world is about you and your navel. James, a servant of God. That is a common Old Testament expression for the prophets, yes or no? It's a common expression for Moses, yes? There is actually one of the small prophets, his name means servant of the Lord. Are you ready? Obadiah, Ebed in the Yah sound. The Yah, which is a shortened form of Yahweh. So James introduces himself as a servant of God, and then he throws in here, and of the Lord Jesus Christ, so we know he's a believer, to the 12 tribes, not 10, not 2, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Greeting. We're going to talk about that verse tonight and implications of it. James and the 12 tribes. Let's pray together, please. Father, I thank you for this time. May this be a profitable night. Help me as I try to introduce this with enough energy for us to get the point. I don't think anti-Semitism is a big problem here, but nor did I think it was a problem in America till recently. Now we have lunatics on the right, total lunatics, hate Israel. Israel's been replaced by the church. God is done with Israel. Same old lies that's been being told for a long, long time. Help us to hear about at least these pieces in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to try to say this, and I have some stuff in your notes. By the way, I'm going to assume, and I think the assumption will be correct, that the vast majority of us know almost nothing about Jews. So just hang on. He attended Lake County Baptist Church twice. Once for maybe a year, the second time for maybe 3 to 6 months. Both times were very short, very uneven, wasn't here very often. He is an exceptionally smart individual in the sense of money. I would just say this: he was making $300,000 or $400,000 a year 25 years ago. That's more than I make. He knows how to make money. Smart guy. Not so smart with children, not so smart in marriage, not so smart any other place. He hasn't been here in many years, but strangely enough, he would text me occasionally and call me. You know, folks, I'm the pastor. I have contact with lots of people, some of them beautiful, some of them not beautiful. But I have connections with some people that's beautiful. Dietmar's one, Tony Cardenas. I mean, I can list, but that's not important. So he would text me, call me, but usually text. After October 7th, that was the end of our conversation. The first thing he said, and by the way, would you be able to refute this? The Jews today are not the Jews in Jesus' day. Rule number one. By the way, I know exactly where that comes from. It comes from the book called The 13th Tribe. You can buy it. It says that there are no such thing as real Jews. The Jews of Europe are really Khazarians, which are a Turkic tribe, and they adopted some kind of a false religion called Judaism. And by the way, anybody in this room, tell me who else believed that, that was a major player in the United States. Henry Ford. By the way, he was sued almost to oblivion over some of these lies. This stuff has been around for a long time. By the way, you didn't even hear what I said. The 13th tribe says the Jews of Europe. Well, we're going to learn there's more Jews than just Europeans. So he started telling me all of our problems are Jews. Jews cause all the problems, and the Jews today really aren't Jews. I have in your notes, of course, this just shows a total, complete, total stumble down ignorance of Jewish people. In your notes, I'm assuming everybody knows there are three broad groups of Jewish people. There is what's called the Ashkenazi, that's an individual. The Ashkenazim is plural. Those are the Jews of Germany, Poland, Ukraine, Russia, primarily. The Ashkenazi are that group. They speak a language or used to. By the way, if you're older, and the only person in this room that knew all of them was Frenchie because he loved television, but he knew all of the Jews because they were all what when we were kids? Yes, but more importantly than actors, comedians. They were every place, including, I'm having people like, do you guys live in Waukegan area? Is there not a park named after a Jewish guy over here? I guess not. Oh, that's right. He changed his name. You wouldn't know it. By the way, many of them changed their names. I came across a guy, Soupy Sales. By the way, oh, Soupy was as Jewish as you can be. The guy right here was Jewish. By the way, Jerry Lewis, Jewish comedians dominated our country. Did you not know that? We grew up with them. Oh, there's still a lot of actors that are. The Ashkenazi are the primary group of Jews, not the only group, in the United States. They spoke a language called Yiddish, Y-I-D-D-I-S-H, which was a combination of Hebrew and German and Slavic, Polish, Russian. The next group is the Sephardic, which is by far the more important group, and sometimes the Sephardic groups, or the Sephardim, were from Spain originally, and then moved into the Mediterranean rim, Greece, North Africa. There were huge populations in North Africa of the Sephardim. They spoke a language that was a combination of Hebrew, Hebrew, and often Spanish and Turkish to some degree, according to where you lived. There was a little difference. The Sephardim are still around, very musical. Look at me in the eyes. The Sephardim, look at me, would never be confused for looking like me. Their skin color is a different color. So when you get to the people that say Jews are white, you know right up front they're a racist. They're trying to categorize Jews as white and the worst group of whites. Here's the problem. They're not, and if you go to Israel today, do you realize the Ashkenazi are not the majority group in Israel? We'll get to that. Third group is the Mizrahi, or the Mizrahim. The Mizrahim are from modern-day Iraq and modern-day Iran. And friends, those people have been in Israel, excuse me, in Iran for how long? You ever heard of the Persian Empire? You ever heard of Cyrus the Great? You ever hear of Nehemiah? You ever heard of Ezra? Most of those people stayed where they were and were there until very recently. There have been Jews, and the Mizrahim speak a totally different language. Now, these are the three big groups. Then you have, you don't have to write this. Then you have what's called the Beit Israel, B-E-T-H, the House of Israel. They are from Ethiopia. And sorry to inform you, they are black. And almost all of them have been removed at Israel's expense and brought to Israel at their expense, by the way. They brought them there, set them up there, sent them to school there, sent them to college, the whole bit. Now, there's many, many, many other groups. We don't have time to discuss them. I have a book at home on Jews in Exotic Places. You also have the Ben Israel, the sons of Israel, which were in a little place. Let me see, Satish, have you ever heard of Cochin? They were in Cochin, or Kochi, 2,000 plus years ago. And that's India, folks. That's in Kerala on the west coast in the south. I mean, they've been all over. Jews have been every place. But the Jews today aren't really the Jews. Well, yes, they are. I'm not going to demonstrate that tonight. I will just simply say this. Archaeologically, genetically, which I love genetics, linguistically and ethnically, the Jews are still the Jews. Yes, the Ashkenazi will have more Northern European, meaning Germanic and Polish blood, but they still have that core, a major core that goes back to the Middle East. Each group was going to have little differences, but they're all Jewish. I say in your notes, racist in the USA called Jews white. Hitler killed 6 million Jews because, according to Hitler, they were not white. Did you hear the irony? He killed, that's not the hard part. The hard part's the second line. Not only were not white, according to Hitler, they could not become white. Even if they gave up Judaism, they still were not white. So he killed 6 million people. You say it was because of, no, he said they were of a different race. Now, see, the whole term white is just a racist concept that we toss around to abuse people. But that's part of the problem. Now, I'm going to say this quickly, and I'm not going to try to teach on this. Kevin Bodder got in this, and I told Kevin, I said, I will never read those books. I refuse to read certain things. I am going to read a book that I know about, and I think I'll be able to read it. It's a racist book on about Jews. But there are groups today, Christian identity movements. Are the Billy Baptists in this room listening? You come from Arkansas, Tennessee, and Kentucky. There are a lot of groups that say some horrific things about Jewish people while claiming to be Bible-believing Christians. Because they're playing games. Some of this comes from a thinking of this. British Israelism, where the 10 lost tribes got lost in voila. They became England. Well, the tribe of Joseph, which wasn't a tribe, that got split in half, but don't confuse the Bible. And the United States became the tribe of Manasseh. So they claim we're the true Jews. And the Jews, they're no longer Jews. We're the Jews. This stuff floats around Billy Baptist churches all over the place. And it's going to get worse because people don't think well, and doctrine is no longer important for the vast majority of people. Sadly. Emotions are very important. So the Christian identity movements, which, by the way, are all over this country, they all say, by the way, let me ask the other question, and I'm not trying to be, this is just factual. You drift your little self into Washington, D.C., and you're approached by a black Hebrew. It's another identity movement. They say the Jews aren't Jewish, we're Jewish. This is common kind of nonsense. Floats all over. There used to be a guy. Again, I don't know if these things are still out there moving in religion. Herbert W. Armstrong, Garner Ted Armstrong, when I was a kid, they were all into British. By the way, you're not only saved, whatever that means, but you're a Jew because you descend from the people, from the white people from the north. All right, we're going to do some simple things. By the way, just so you know, Pastor Warren is not Jewish. I have no Jewish blood. I wouldn't be upset if I did. But I am just a good old American mutt. That's basically what I am. I'm not Jewish. I'm not trying to be Jewish. I'm trying to teach the Bible. So in your notes, number one, what do we find? Well, there were 12 tribes. That's really shocking. James chapter 1 says, Yakobos, that's hard to say in one line. Yakobos, bos or bas, James, which is the Greek form of the Hebrew word for Jacob. By the way, that is translated because that is the translated form of Jacob. In Acts chapter 7, we have the transliterated form of Jacob, which is just Yaakov, because they don't put the Omicron Sigma on the end. But he wrote to the 12 tribes. Acts chapter 7, from verse 1 to verse 8, but I'm not going to read all of it, says this. He gave the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day, and Isaac begat Jacob, which is kind of funny. A Jacob is writing to the 12 tribes, and a Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs, the 12 tribes. Just kind of interesting to me. Obviously, there were 12 tribes in the Old Testament. That's pretty straightforward. Number two, the 10 tribes were not lost. This is where things get really goofy. The 10 tribes got lost. They just kind of disappeared. Nobody knows where they went. They just got, you know, whatever. And that is a common teaching among many people. Everybody look at me. Our church believes in this. We believe three things. It's called dispensationalism. Literal hermeneutics. We read the Bible for what it says. Number two, a distinction between Israel and the church. And number three, a future for the nation of Israel. Where do we get that from? Now, listen, friends, there's a lot of people that think God, I got a book upstairs that says the book of Revelation is God's divorce decree from Israel. God is done. That's called supersessionism. We'll teach that either on a Sunday night or in Sunday school. But by the way, he's writing the 12 tribes. That's shocking, I know. Now, the 10 northern tribes did not get lost. This is just dealing with them. In 2 Kings 17, the kingdom had split a long time before. We'll get into that. In 17:1, it says, in the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Elah, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. So you have two kingdoms here. You have Israel in the north. You have Judah in the south. By the way, when you read the Bible, you think Judah is the big kingdom. You're wrong. Judah is the small kingdom. Israel is the big kingdom. But Judah has believers. Israel has only a smattering. There was never a single good king in the north. They had 20 kings. This is the highest compliment in all of the Bible about northern kings. Next verse, 17:2. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. I'm going to paraphrase it, but not as bad as the rest of them. There's two guys that's their compliment. Well, they were evil, but not as evil as the rest. 2 Kings 17:5, it says, then the king of Assyria, which would be modern day Iraq and Syria and Turkey and that area, the Assyrians came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years. In the 9th year of Hoshea, king of Assyria took Samaria, that's the northern kingdom, and carried it away into Assyria. But here, friends, the 12 tribes didn't get lost. Let's go down the list of bullet points. Israel split into two kingdoms in about 930 BC. I'm going to teach this. I'll have to teach biblical history because I'm assuming we don't know it. Everybody look at me. What happened in 931 the previous year? Solomon died. When Solomon died, there had been three kings over the entire kingdom. Saul, kind of, David, and then Solomon. Solomon dies, the kingdom splits in half. By the way, 722 BC, when Israel was destroyed, but in 930 BC, we have never had a unified kingdom, ever. That's just the history. There's been an Israel and then a Judah. So Israel split into two kingdoms in 930 or so BC. Israel was then conquered by the Assyrians in 722 BC. The Assyrians came in, conquered them, dragged them off into their territories and other territories, and this is where people start making stuff up. Well, they like we like to make stuff up. So Israel, I say, was carried away into captivity. Not every single person, but many of them. Next, Israel was no longer a nation state. That nation state no longer existed. Next, Israel was not lost or forgotten. That's the silliness of this. People say, oh, you know, they were carried away captives and they migrated and they get into all these philosophy things. They went up this river, they went here, they went there. They ended up, would you believe, the Jews ended up in England, and guess where I'm from? And guess who the chosen people were? And I'm one of the chosen people? No, you're not chosen in that sense. Not at all. By the way, the Jews are the Jews. They've always been the Jews, and they didn't get lost. Israelites were not lost or forgotten. And lastly, at least in introduction ways, Israel shall be restored. There's a thing called the New Covenant. Every time we partake of the Lord's Supper, we mention the New Covenant. Because the New Covenant was when Jesus... In some ways, we benefit from the New Covenant. But the New Covenant is not made with Gentiles, not made with the church. It's actually made with Israel. But because it's one of the covenants of promise, the Abrahamic, the Davidic, and the New Covenant, those three covenants are covenants of promise. We benefit from them, obviously. That's the whole Bible. Well, Jeremiah 31:31. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of what? And with the house of what? You say, what's that mean? Everybody look at me. That means the church, right? See, there's your problem right up front. And I'm telling you, there's good Bible-believing people. That's anytime they say Israel, well, that's the church. No, Israel's Israel. Actually, in this case, Israel's the 10 northern tribes, and the two southern tribes are Judah. He goes on and say, I'm going to skip because of time, skip the great covenant, and go to verse 35. After he's given this phenomenal covenant that has not yet transpired fully, because it's for the Jews fully, we benefit from it. We by the grace of God, are grafted in and benefit from it. Verse 35, thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances of moon, sun, stars, light, if those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation or a people group. Nation there doesn't mean nation state. Before me forever. The idea being, friends, you can guarantee the promise I made to Israel, northern, southern, the whole group, this is going to happen. It's as stable as the universe itself. He goes on to say in verse 37, thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done. It's not going to happen. Revelation 7. Please look at me. I got the book in my office. If you'd like to see it, you can come up after church. And by the way, everybody, I challenge you, if you want to see it, I'll let you see it in my office. It's this thick. It's on the Greek text. It's by G.K. Beale. He reads this text. You read the text with me. And he says, this is talking about the church. in Revelation speaking of the future, which would make sense because the promises of God, the new covenant, would bring the children of Israel in. It says, "And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the church." Verse 5, "Of the tribe of Judah, church, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben, church, were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad, church, were sealed." You say, "This just sounds ridiculous." Well, look at me. If you got something against Jewish people, it does. Yes. By the way, I'm not Jewish. And in this room, none of us are what you would call a complete Jewish person. We got one that's pretty much. But friends, none of us are this. He goes on the list, most of the tribes, these are always identified slightly differently. And these are Greek names: Asher, Naphtalim, Simeon, Issachar, Zebulun, Levi or Levi, Joseph, which is oftentimes separated between Manasseh and Ephraim, and Benjamin. By the way, God promised the restoration. Revelation reveals that restoration. Revelation reveals it's going to happen. The next page in your notes, Revelation 21:12 says this, "And had a wall great and high, and 12 gates, and the gates had 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the church." Now, I'll just be cruel. If Israel means church, so in verse 14 it says, "And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." I guess the 12 apostles are actually Israel then. We'll just swap it. How's that sound? You say, that's ridiculous. I agree. That's the reason we read the Bible literally. So we have simply said two things. Number one, there were 12 tribes. Number two, the 10 tribes, meaning the 10, that's the game. The 10 tribes got lost. Number three, 12 tribes in the diaspora. Diaspora. Now, friends, this is common language for me. Everybody look at me. This is as common to me as saying the word T-H-E. But if you don't read in academic circles, diaspora might be a new word. It's okay to get a little bit of education. It's in the Greek text because it was the word. And by the way, Jewish people will say we're in the diaspora. Now, other groups have now brought that on and used that too. If you're from a country and you live in another country, they will sometimes say we're part of such and such diaspora. That's fine. But the word, it's not necessarily Jewish, but it was applied to the Jewish people for thousands of years, including in James' day. All right, in your notes. The Greek is not for, it's not a game, and it's not a trick, and it's not to impress you. It's to inform you. 12 tribes in the diaspora. James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. The Greek hammers this. It says the same thing, but differently. It says to the 12 tribes. The underlined word is the plural. I don't need to get into the details. It's saying to the 12 tribes, and then it uses the same word, the, again, plural word. You know, the ones in the diaspora. Greeting. So this whole book is about 12 tribes that were scattered in various places. Everyone look at me. In the future, we're going to talk about history. We got to talk about history. The average person doesn't know what the Wailing Wall is. Well, I've heard of it. They don't know why there's a Wailing Wall. You know, the Jews created it. By the way, there's some things, but since 135 AD, the Bar Kokhba Revolt, the Romans destroyed everything, ran most of the Jews out of the whole nation of Israel. Certain families were never allowed or weren't supposed to ever be allowed to come back to Jerusalem. But friends, even in James' day, most of the Jews were not in the promised land. Most of the Jews were in the diaspora. They were already scattered every place. They were in many different places. In your notes, so you know what the word means. Diaspora or diaspora in Greek. It's not a big word, folks. Everyone look at me. Dia is the word through. And spora, you know the word spore. Do you know the word spore? Like, you know, spores that come out as seeds. It literally is the way they used to do it. You would take seed and do this. The seed has been scattered. The seed has been sown. The seed has been scattered around. That's what happened to the Jewish people. So when James writes, he's writing to Jews, 12 tribes that are not in the promised land, but they've been scattered in various places already. By the way, it's all over the New Testament. It's so obvious. In your notes, thoughts. First of all, James was writing from Jerusalem, obviously. That's where he was probably what we'd call the senior pastor there, or one of the certainly one of the elders and one of the most important elders, pastors, overseers in Jerusalem. That's from Acts, by the way, three or four times. Number two, James was writing to the 12 tribes. By the way, there were the 12 tribes. Some of them were in Jerusalem at that time, or in Judea and in Galilee. But most of them had been scattered, even in James' day, in many different places. Friends, look at me. Two big scatterings. 722, the northern tribes are scattered. 586, the southern tribes are scattered. They're scattered first in Babylon. Remember Daniel? And then later on, he's brought into the Persians. He serves the Persian kings, even to a period of Darius or Darius. Folks, this is just, and those people, most of them, never came back to the promised land, listen carefully, to live. They stayed where they were. They didn't get lost. So James is writing a letter to Jewish people scattered in the diaspora. So he's writing from Jerusalem, where there are Jewish people, including himself, obviously. He's writing to the 12 tribes, and he's writing specifically those in the diaspora. That's how we say it. The Greek word is diaspora, but that doesn't make any difference. Diaspora is how we say it. In your notes, diaspora literally means this, a sowing of seed. But the way they used to sow seed, just scattering it. I've done this with hay. Tim, did you ever do that with hay, where you just took seed? Well, we had fields that we sometimes use for corn and beans, and sometimes we used it for hay. So I still remember going out in the field right in back of the barn. We had 5 acres, and then we had about 15 flat acres down in that little valley. There was about a 15 or so acres, and then there was another 5 acres on around. And Dad said, here's the seed. Go sow it. Do you know what it looks like? You get a bag on your thing, and you have a nozzle. And you're just sowing seed. I still remember I sowed the entire area. 5 acres, about 15 acres, 5 more acres. I had about a half a thing of seed. I was about as young as this handsome guy named Mason back here. But I was not as good as Mason. When I got done, I didn't have a half a bag, maybe a third of the bag. I didn't know what to do with it, so I just... But here's the problem with this. Listen, here's the problem. The farm looked like this. It was a slight bowl. We were up in the bluffs. The pond was here. Right out the back door, you could see the field. But unfortunately, I was stupid. The other field, the 15 acres, went like this and kind of went up. And I poured the seed right here where I went up, and there was this big pack of seed. You could see it. And it's like Dad said, you say, did you have an answer? No. I couldn't even think up a lie. Man. That's sowing seed, or if you prefer, the sowing of seed or the scattering of seed. Either one works. They're normally called the diaspora or the dispersion when you're talking to Jewish people, though the word has been borrowed by other cultures now. Well, it's not numbered. So James was writing from Jerusalem to the 12 tribes, specifically not the 12 tribes that were living in Israel, but those who were scattered around. And the next 12 tribes scattered. This is a hard one, friend. Why were they? Everybody look at me. Why were they scattered? Because of sin. Yes. They knew why they were in the dispersion. You can read this in depth in Deuteronomy. We'll just highlight 3 verses. God says, and by the way, in the Greek translation, the Septuagint, it uses the word diaspora. I will scatter you among the heathen, the goyim, the Gentiles. Yep, he says, I'm going to do that to you. 4:27, and the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in numbers among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. 28:64, and the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And by the way, they were punished in that way. Number four, we have said, bullet points, there were 12 tribes. The 10 tribes were not lost. There were still 12 tribes. There was specifically, James and all the believers knew most of them were already in the dispersion or the diaspora all over the place. No, they weren't in the New World yet. They would come here. Everybody look at me. I grew up in southwestern Illinois. Most of you know that. In farming country. So let me just say this. I did not know this as a kid because you don't think about what you grow up around. Did you hear me? I grew up with Jewish people. What did they do? Clothing. All of them. When the German farmers moved in, the German merchants, which were Jewish, moved in too. If you go to Whitehall today, tiny little town, right south of Jacksonville, as you drive through town, it's closed, been closed for decades. You'll see a little garment store there with the last name of Lowenstein. I'll just say that. They're not Irish. In my town, they still own it, the Rudolph family. I went to high school with Rudolphs. Very Jewish. I grew up with Jewish people. I thought that was normal. That's how we grew, because of the nature of merchants and farming and the whole bit. These 12 tribes were known in James' day. Friends, I'm just giving you a smattering. You can read the rest of the book of Acts. James says, he's the servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes, meaning he knew about them, and they were scattered or in the diaspora. He knew about that in his day. When they're having the great discussion in Acts 15, one of the most historically important little verses, James, by the way, James says this, for Moses of old time, for a long time, hath in every city them that preach him, meaning they read the Torah, they read the prophets, they read the Old Testament. He says, being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. Friends, the entire Roman world was filled with Jewish people. Let me just say this. There's whole volumes that deal with the Roman view of the Jews. They were every place. Some people think 10% of the people in Rome were Jewish. In Rome, long way from the Promised Land. Alexandria, Egypt had a massive population at that time of Jewish people, but they were scattered and it was well known. And Paul then knew wherever he went, every town of any size at all, I would go in there and there would be someone on Sabbath day reading, listen. What? The Old Testament. And if they would read the Old Testament, and if they saw a traveling speaker like Paul, they would say, do you have anything to say? And Paul says, I just so happen to have something to say. And he started talking about the Mashiach, the promised Messiah, of course, that he has come. Acts 13, and I just give you a smattering. This is all over. It's assumed that you know this. Every place Paul went, there were Jewish people. Acts 13:4. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, from whence they sailed to Cyprus. Cyprus, I'm assuming, is still where Cyprus is today. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews. Acts 13:14, same chapter. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, not Antioch in Syria. That's farther south. That's where the big church was. Antioch in Pisidia, which is part of Turkey today. And it says, and they went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Of course, because they were every place. And Paul used that as a place to start preaching the gospel to the Jews and also to the God-fearers. And there were lots and lots and lots of God-fearers there. It says in verse 15, and after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent to him, saying, you men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation, that is the Jewish way of saying, do you have a sermon? He said, say on. Krusty, can you put the thing here? Everybody look at me. I cannot convince most people. Jewish people didn't just show up someplace. They have been in some of these places for thousands of years. I have a book in my office. If you go up again, if you want to see, I'll show you. I had a set of books in my office on the book of Acts. They're historical books. This is the, I'm assuming everybody knows the Mediterranean, but I better not assume that because some of us don't even know Lake Michigan. The Mediterranean, the Black Sea is north. Obviously, Israel is where it is. Judea it has there. The Caspian Sea is over farther to the right. And then you can go over to the Aral Sea over farther right. Up in those areas today are the Stan countries. Why is this map important? I'm reading a book on Acts by a Russian scholar. They discovered, are you ready? A Jewish cemetery from 100 BC to 100 AD. You see, how do they know it was Jewish? Hebrew. Hebrew on the stones. They discovered it. See the Black Sea? You see that little piece sticking out? That's called the Crimea. There used to be, by the way, a Greek settlements there. By the way, the Greeks went there to train, and guess what? So did the Jews. They found, that's modern day either Russia or Ukraine, whoever's controlling it right now. They found a cemetery for Jewish people there that's 2,000 years old. Jewish people were every place. Listen to me. Some people think the Jews went into Germany, and from Germany they went over to Russia. Look at me. That's true, but it's not the truth. Because when the city of Kiev was founded, and when it was finally destroyed by the Mongols in 1200s, during 800s to the 1200s, they had a gate. This is a long time before the Pale of Settlement. Now, some of you, I'm sorry, I'm talking about things most people are unaware of. They had a Jew gate. Why do you have a Jew gate, Dada? And? You don't want them coming through your gate. Like in the Bible, they had a, I'm going to be kind, a fish gate. They also had a dung gate. I won't get any more private than that. They had a Jew gate. By the way, this was a long time before Jews came from Germany. Can I say this? No Jew ever got lost. Those Jewish people from the two dispersions, 722 and 586, went every place. So even in James' day, by the way, you're going to know this in a minute. You won't even be able to say anything else. We should have already known it. But too much Christianity is Billy Baptist stuff. Yelling, screaming, talking about what's not important. Yes, just read the scripture. We continue. Number five, 12 tribes, including some Messianic Jews and Jewish communities. He sent them greeting, by the way. Acts 2, verse 4. What happened on the day of Pentecost, by the way? Look at me. What happened on the day of Pentecost? What was the day of Pentecost? Let's start there. Day of Pentecost. Somebody raise their hand and tell me. What? Yeah, but what was the day of Pentecost? 50 days after Passover, correct? Yes. Pentecost is really, friends, 50th. It means 50th. Yes, it was the day the Holy Spirit came. The church was birthed. But what was the church birthed out of? See, I think we're so interested in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, if you're Pentecostal, that you miss what actually happened. Let's read Acts 2, verse 4. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. You say, what does other tongue mean? Well, I think some of them spoke Cebuano. Some of them spoke Tagalog. No one knows what Louis says in any language, so you don't know what language he spoke. By the way, read what it says, verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men. That's another form of God-fearing people. People that weren't totally Jewish, but they were connected to the synagogue. By the way, in that cemetery, way up there in the Crimea, they also found Gentiles saying, "We worship the Most High God," which was their way of saying, "We are a God-fearer, but not a Jew." And it was in Hebrew. Unbelievable. Let's continue. There were dwelling at Jerusalem, because it's one of the three feasts that Jews were supposed to come back to Jerusalem. There were Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad and the multitude came together, they were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. By the way, in his own dialect, to be precise. And they were amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Americans?" Verse 8, "And how hear we every man in our own tongue?" Again, dialect. Not only the tongue in which we were born, that heart language, the first one you learn from your mother. And then it starts listing them. Everybody, look up here. I'll read this. How do we know Jews were every place? They came to Jerusalem. They came, first of all, what's the first word? What's the Parthians? Well, you actually see it over by the Caspian Sea, over in the far right, the Parthian Empire. Friend, modern day Iran. Where did they come from? Have you heard of Daniel, Ezra, and Nehemiah? Have you heard that there were Jews all in those countries? And I want to say this, Iran was the friendliest country to Jews up until where they got rammed up every country, 1948. Things went bad. The Parthians, yes, way over by the Caspian Sea. Now, there might have been people from, because the Parthian Empire goes farther east. It goes into Afghanistan and lots of places. At times, it also went far north. Above that, in the Russian plain there, is where you have the Scythians, and the Parthians were always fighting with those people. Let's continue. You have the Medes and the Elamites. The Medes and the Elamites are, and then you even see it here. Christy, I couldn't, if you gave me a red button, Christy, don't do it. I can't see it. So if you had a pointer, I couldn't even point to it because I couldn't see the pointing. Sorry. Mesopotamia, friend. You see Arabia at the bottom, right straight above that is Mesopotamia, which is modern-day Iraq. All of these people were Mizrakim Jewish people, and they were coming from Mesopotamia, the Elamites and the Medes. And then you have of Judea. You know where that is. Cappadocia, straight up in the province. Christy. She is perfect, see? I actually can see that color. What color is that? It must be the background. The background must be different enough that I can see it for some reason. So Cappadocia is part of modern-day Turkey. Pontus is also part of modern-day Turkey over on the top north. Cappadocia and Pontus were the most rural of the provinces. And then you have Asia, which is... Asia was, I don't think it's listed here, but it's part of that whole Turkey, modern-day Turkey. Not Asia, the continent, Asia, the Roman province. Then you have Phrygia and Pamphylia. Both of those are also part of Turkey. And then you have Egypt. Where's Egypt at? It's a joke. Same place it's always been, yes. You know, Egypt, the Nile, right beside at the bottom. You also have, by the way, there were Jews, they were every place. And then it says, in parts of Libya around Cyrene. Cyrene is right over the left, modern-day Libya. But, and it's hard to know these people. One of the earliest pastors in the church at Antioch in Syria was from there. He could have been North African, or he could have been Greek, or he could have been a mixture. But that's where they were from. You say, why? Because Jews were every place. They didn't come to be every place. They were every place in Paul's day, James' day, and it's acknowledged. Goes on to say, strangers of Rome. Well, I think we know where Italy is, don't we? Jews and proselytes, Cretes. By the way, where's Crete at? It's right where Crete's always been. Didn't we just talk about a book written to somebody on Crete named Titus? Yes. And Arabians? Well, that's the Arabian Peninsula. Can I say this, friend? Nobody got lost. The Jews were always there. Jews have always been there. The only difference is the second largest nation of Jewish people in the world is the United States. Actually, we were number one until the last 10 years. We have been surpassed mainly because we have in some ways, an older population of Jewish people, much older. 12 tribes. Does everybody get the point? Yes or no? Let's go through the bullet points. We're almost done. There were 12 tribes. The 10 tribes were not lost. Don't let people tell that lie. Number three, 12 tribes in the diaspora. Number four, 12 tribes known in James' day. Number five, 12 tribes, including some Messianic Jews in Jewish communities or churches. How do we know that? That's who he's writing to. He's writing to all the Jews, but specifically those that have come to know Christ. Lastly, we conclude. 12 tribes, James served as a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent greeting to them, which was the normal way in the Greco-Roman world. Greeting, it's greetings. It also means joy. It's a formal way of sending greetings. That's my introduction to James. Everyone look at me and I'm done. The next time you hear talking about the 10 lost tribes, the 10 lost tribes are only lost in people's heads. They never got lost any place. And by the way, there's Jews just about every place. At one time, even in the Philippines. I don't know if they're still there today. Philippines did some real good things with a ship that was in World War II. Are you familiar with that, Dada? By the way, in our country did not. Because the Roosevelt left-wing administration was Jew haters. So the 6 million Jews that were killed, it would have been more if our military hadn't stopped it, number one. And number two, it could have most of it been prevented if America would have allowed the Jews to come here. But we were Jew-hating. Ooh, let's stand.